everyone. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket, your one-stop shop for comic stock and such. I'm Jared Jones.
I am MJ Kramer.
This week, holy cats, break out your pencils and pens. The July 2021 comic book solicitations are here. MJ and I got the goods on all the good stuff coming out this summer, as well as some answers to some of these solicits' strangest mysteries. What is Skybound X? We'll find out. Is Amelia Clark getting paid HBO money to make an Image comic? We kind of doubt it. Why is DC publishing a horror series based on notorious phonies Ed and Lorraine Warren? Money! Possibly. All this plus our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week and our shameful comic book tie-in merchandise purchases. Break out your wallets, group. Comic books are expensive, but it don't cost a thing to enjoy Casual Wednesdays.
So true.
It is true. Ed and Lorraine Warren were phonies.
And what is that in regards to?
The Conjuring. DC's doing a Conjuring series.
Ah, yes, that's it.
One, there's no such thing as ghosts. Two, they con people into believing them by making chairs move and such.
Ah.
It's a whole scam. Conjuring series bugs me.
But that's a scam that's been around since like the Victorian age.
If you're going to make a haunted house movie, make a haunted house movie. If you're going to make a haunted house comic book, make a haunted house comic book. Don't drag those two into it. Anyway. So, MJ, hello, it's July 2021 solicits.
It is.
That's right. Controversial opinions on ghosts notwithstanding, we are back. Very excited to crack open these solicits, but before we do, some lighthouse cleaning before we get started. We are looking for new listener questions. Some of you guys have been absolutely fantastic sending us questions via info@doomrocket.com or sending questions our way through our Twitter page at Cashweds Podcast. We love you for it. Keep it up. Some of you have actually been so good as to send us several questions that we can refer back to.
Yeah, sometimes an email with like just a whole little list of questions we can go back to.
I love it. So yes, we are on the lookout for more questions. Send them our way. info@doomrocket.com. At Cashweds Podcast on Twitter. Also, I am not surprised by this at all, but once we stopped doing the giveaways, the Apple Podcast reviews dried up.
I can't imagine it.
Is there a correlation there? I can't imagine that there is. But if you haven't already and you're feeling nice today, why don't you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, say something nice and or constructive. We greatly appreciate it. It helps out the podcast quite a bit. Algorithmically, I can't explain it, but it does. And also, one final thing. Last week, I made a tremendous gaffe, and I would like to take an opportunity to apologize for it. I misgendered one Grant Morrison on this podcast. As all of you know, Grant Morrison, early last year, came out as non-binary. They use they-them pronouns, so I want to apologize to that. If I offended or bothered anybody by doing that, I apologize for that as well.
Nothing but love for our non-binary listeners.
Now, with that out of the way, MJ, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to be a little more mindful in the future.
I need to do that too.
Yeah.
Because I didn't notice when you did it, so that's on me as well.
Well, I didn't even catch it in post. That's how dumb I was. That's how dumb I was. So anyway, here we are. MJ, new comic book day. Are you excited for it?
I'm excited as I usually am for new comic book day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also previews week.
It is.
All the previous catalogs are out this week, and they're always huge, and they're always just a nightmare to ship out to our subscribers.
See, I don't have to deal with the shipping aspect of it, really. I'm just glad it's not a Fortnite week again.
Yeah, that was hell.
Yeah.
Is that a miniseries?
It is a miniseries.
Oh, fuck
me. Twice monthly miniseries.
Twice monthly?
Yeah.
Fuck. There were so many people who ordered that book.
Yeah.
Listeners, you don't need to know what my week was like, but it involved a lot of cardboard, even more tape, and a lot of willpower. That's all I'm going to say. Fortnite!
A very popular comic book.
Evidently.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, MJ, all that out of the way. This is a solicits episode, which means we've got no news.
Correct.
And why is that?
Well, Jared, the news is the solicits.
That's absolutely correct. So we're skipping news this week. And diving right into it, MJ, are you ready to get started?
Yes.
All right, students, you know the score. Grab a pen and a pad of paper. We're about to give you a list of our recommendations for the July 2021 solicitations, some stuff that you absolutely should check out, some stuff you could if you wanted to, and some stuff to be aware of overall.
That's right.
Where do you want to begin, MJ?
I think, as usual, we should start with Image.
Where do you want to begin with Image Comics in the month of July? MJ.
Well, I guess we'll start with their biggest profile announcement, even though it's a really weird one.
Okay.
Like, weird as in unexpected.
All right.
So there is this comic, it's going to be called Mom, M-O-M, Mother of Madness.
Oh my God.
Number one of three. Now, this is co-written by Marguerite Bennett, a fave of ours.
Yeah.
And Amelia Clark.
What?
The Amelia Clark, actress from Game of Thrones.
The Mother of Dragons?
Yes, writing a book called Mother of Madness.
That's not on accident.
just it's funny. The artist is going to be Layla Lays,
who we also like.
Yes. Yeah. She was the artist with Marguerite Bennett on the Aftershock book Horde. So this is an oversized debut that comes out July 21st, 48 pages at $5.99.
All right.
Did you want to read a little bit of the solicit text?
I suppose so. Solicit text, go. Quote, Game of Thrones superstar Emilia Clarke debuts an extra-length three-issue miniseries. Hey, we just set that solicit. The mayhem begins with Maya, under-the-weather scientist by day, over-the-top superhero by night, and badass single mom 24/7. Deadpool action and Fleabag comedy collide when Maya activates her freakish superpowers to take on a secret sect of human traffickers, mature readers only. Comedy and chaos await in the first of 340-page issues by the glamorous artist of Horde, Layla Lays. End quote. This is baffling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, since Berserker had such great success mm-hmm. with Keanu Reeves co-writing it.
Yeah, but that just came out last month. That was in production for a while.
Oh, but that was announced a long time ago because they had that huge, very successful Kickstarter to support it.
I guess you're right.
So the news of that has been going around for a while. So, I mean, it only makes sense that more celebrities are like, oh, hey, I can co-write this comic, make it, you know, get a lot more eyes on it, and thus increasing its possibilities getting optioned and actually turning it into like a TV show or a movie or something.
Do they hate pitching to studios?
Well, I mean, I feel like a celebrity co-writing a comic is not really an easy way to do it.
Making a comic book is not easy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Assuming she's putting in the work, which I'm going to assume that she is, okay?
Marguerite Bennett puts in the work.
She does.
I'll tell you that.
And I'm always glad to see her name in the solicits. I just feel like we don't see her writing enough comics. So every time I see her name, it's like, yes,
we got to promote
Marguerite
the book.
Bennett.
That's right. Yeah. So Mom, Mother of Madness, I don't know why you're here. I mean, I know why you're here, but you're here July 21st. MJ, what's next for solicits?
Next up, we have a new miniseries called Skybound X.
Is this Skybound 10? Are they X and 10-ing us like
yes.
Marvel does?
Yes. This is like the 10th anniversary of Skybound.
All right.
So they're doing this weekly miniseries to kind of celebrate the anniversary. And it's a bunch of short stories from various creators who have done lots of Skybound work. There's lots of Robert Kirkman in here, as one can guess.
Of course.
But it's a, like I said, it's a weekly series. Each issue is $4.99, but each one is at least 40 pages long. The first issue is actually 52 pages.
You know, amongst all these creators, I do not see John Layman or Afu Chan's name at all, which means that Outer Darkness will not be a part of the Skybound X celebration, and thus I do not care.
That is kind of a bummer. But if you like Ryan Ottley's art, there's lots of Ryan Ottley. He's in like every other issue, it looks like. Then the first issue, I find this exciting, has a short that's written and drawn by Tilly Walden. It has some James Heron in there, who I love. The second issue has some Chip Zdarsky and Ramon Perez Stillwater action. The third issue has some Daniel Warren Johnson awesomeness. It's actually a Murder Falcon short.
That makes sense.
And then we've got a little assassination piece by Kyle Starks and Erica Henderson. Issue 4 has some Donny Cates and Lissandro Estherin redneck stuff, mm-hmm. some Brandon Thomas Kari Randolph excellence, and then issue 5 has a little bit of Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton, which is that new Kyle Starks, Chris Schweitzer book that's coming out.
All right.
And apparently something completely new from Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard.
$4.99 every week, 44 pages. It's a big extravaganza. Skybound X.
It's going to be a hefty bill, but it's going to be a lot of cool stuff to look at.
Real quick, what did Tilly Walden do for Skybound?
I don't think she has.
So why is Tilly Walden in a 10-year retrospective, but Outer Darkness is not?
Well, some of the stuff isn't necessarily retrospective. It's like celebrating, and it's also like previewing new things.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I see.
So
I'm still real raw about all this.
I'm just saying, any Tilly Walden is good Tilly Walden.
I agree.
Tilly Walden's great.
Not saying Tilly Walden in place of John Layman. I love John Layman, love Tilly Walden for separate reasons. Okay, mm-hmm. Moving on. In Image solicits in July, we have a new debut, Ordinary Gods number 1. I guess Kyle Higgins is trying to buy a house or a bigger house, perhaps.
I think maybe he just has lots of plans finally coming to fruition, because as we all know, it takes a very long time to get a comic series from being in the works to actually being solicited
it's
and coming
true.
Up. Mm-hmm.
Ordinary Gods number 1, written by Kyle Higgins, art by Felipe Watanabe. We have a whole host of variant covers for this debut.
Weirdly, that just says cover A. So maybe it's going to be some big jam piece.
I doubt it. I think Image just screwed up the solicit.
Or it would be really cool if this was all these 8 people on one cover.
40-page debut drops July 7th at $3.99. I like that. Solicit text go, quote, For fans of the Old Guard and God Country comes the extra-length first issue of a century-spanning action epic. The Luminary, the Prodigy, the Brute, the Trickster, the Innovator. Five gods from a realm beyond our own, leaders in the War of Immortals. At least, they were. Before they were trapped, sent to a planet made into a prison, forced into an endless cycle of human death and reincarnation, Christopher is 22. He's got two loving parents. Hey, how did we get here? And a 12-year-old sister. He works at a paint store. He's in therapy. He's one of the five. Which means, in order to save everyone he cares about, Christopher will have to reconnect with his past lives and do the unthinkable, become a god again, end quote. So it's like Wicked and Divine and Gladiator.
Yeah. Or the Old Guard and God Country, like they name checked at the beginning of the solicit.
I like mine better.
Okay.
Okay. Like I said before, July 7th on that one. MJ, what's next from Image?
Well, next, speaking of Mr. John Layman, we've got Chew coming back with issue number 6. Now, this is C-H-U, not C-H-E-W. This was his sort of sequel series. Returning with a new story arc after the first one came out. Now, this one, John has said, is going to be a little bit more independent of the original Chew series. The first one reused a lot of characters, but this one is going to be kind of going in its own direction a little bit more.
Braving a new path.
Yeah. Art and cover by Dan Boltwood. This comes out July 21st for $3.99, 32 pages.
This arc is called She Drunk History, Part 1. Check it out, July 21st. MJ, let's shift over to Dark Horse Comics. I guess there's a Masters of the Universe Netflix show coming out?
I guess.
How did we go from a Warner Brothers reboot to a Netflix TV show?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Dark Horse is doing a tie-in prequel series to that animated series. Mm-hmm. It is an animated series, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin Smith, executive producer of the show with Rob David, they're co-writing this book with Tim Sheridan, who I guess is writing episodes for the series.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a lateral move. It's like advertisement.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, one can guess that maybe Kevin Smith just did this to get more eyes on it.
Could be. Well, then why doesn't he just, like, chill, like, in front of a camera like he does?
Maybe he's gonna.
So, hey, everybody, I'm a vegan now, and you should read Masters of the Universe Revelations number 104. I wrote it!
And also watch it, I'm sure.
I need to work on my Kevin Smith, apparently.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's also going to have art by Mindy Lee, who is someone I rather enjoy the art of.
It's Masters of the Universe, you know the drill. He-Man, Skeletor, Castle Grayskull, Battlecat, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Fisto, Moss Man. Lockjaw.
Hopefully we'll see Fisto. This
the
is
Fluffer.
This is coming out July 7th, 32 pages at $3.99.
The Fluffer wasn't an actual character. I just threw that in there.
Aww.
See if you were paying attention. Did you watch Masters of the Universe growing up?
I was always more of a She-Ra person than a He-Man person for obvious reasons.
It's one universe.
It is.
Anyway.
But there was no Fluffer in She-Ra.
There was no Fluffer in He-Man.
Just saying. I knew it wasn't a She-Ra character. It might have been a He-Man character.
Coming up next from Dark Horse in July, we have yet another edition of Sin City coming our way.
This is the first time it's been in print in quite a while, though.
Give us the details, MJ. What do they got?
Well, this is Sin City Volume 1, The Hard Goodbye, 4th Edition, trade paperback and hardcover. Now, the trade paperback is going to be $25, 216 pages, black and white, as usual. There's going to also be a deluxe hardcover that's $100. Same size, but it's just, you know, a hardcover, which apparently merits a quadrupling of the price, but it's fine. But we know what this is. This is a new printing of Sin City, the first volume.
The first volume, the first story, which is now called The Hard Goodbye because the movie had to call it The Hard Goodbye.
I do want to add the deluxe hardcover edition is going to include a portfolio with an exclusive print sketchbook with never-before-published development art and a pinup gallery with art from Joyce Chin, Amanda Connor, Klaus Janson, Paul Pope, Philip Tan, and Gerardo Zaffino, and brand new original cover art by Frank Miller. I'm just glad to have this back in print because the only thing that's in print and available from Diamond right now is the big compendium edition that has all 7 volumes in one book for $100.
No one's going to buy that.
No, it is very nice to have the first volume, $25. Yeah, that's good. This is smart Dark Horse.
How is Sin City not a perennial for Dark Horse?
I think we've established before, Dark Horse does not necessarily know how to keep things in print.
That's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Next from Dark Horse in July, we have Chivalry Hardcover. Chivalry. I said that too fast. This was an original story by Neil Gaiman that's being adapted by Colleen Doran?
Yes. This is in the series of short story adaptations that Dark Horse has been doing for years and years now.
These beautiful hardcovers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have quite a few of them because of you.
Yes. But the last collaboration between Neil Gaiman and Colleen Doran on one of these short story adaptations was Snowblood Apples. That oh my God, so good.
Turned out to be one of the best comic books of the year.
Yeah. So my expectations for this are through the roof. up in the sky.
It's safe up there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, way in the stratosphere. So this is the solicit's text. Quote, an elderly British widow buys what turns out to be the Holy Grail from a secondhand shop, setting her off on an epic visit from an ancient knight who lures her with ancient relics in hopes for winning the cup. End quote.
Can you hear those birds fucking outside?
I don't think that's what they're doing.
I hate spring.
I think they're just chirping. I think it's some nice atmosphere.
Oh my God.
The cats love it.
They're not even looking. It's wasted on them.
But when they notice it, they love it. Next, we've got a new Gru series. We have Gru Meets Tarzan, number 1 of 4. This is a new Sergio Aragonés miniseries starring, obviously, Gru meeting Tarzan. This is written by Marc Vanier and co-written by Sergio Aragonés with art by Sergio Aragonés. This comes out July 28th, 32 pages for $3.99. I thought you might be excited about this, Jared. I know you're a big Gru fan.
I like Gru. I'm indifferent to Tarzan, but whatever. This is totally a Dark Horse comic through and through.
Yeah.
Through and Gru.
Yes.
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 Also from Dark Horse in July, we have Savage Hearts number 1 of 5, a new miniseries by Aubrey Sitterson, who has a nonstop deluge of projects coming out, it seems.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Working with Jeff Doherty and Laverne Kinzierski, this is on sale July 14th, a 32-page debut at $3.99. This is text, go, quote, she's a brawny barbarian bruiser with a broken heart. Points for alliteration. Mm-mm. He's a lonely beast man who talks to dinosaurs. What happens when they team up against an evil sorcerer? Action, comedy, and romance in this all-new jungle fantasy rom-com from Aubrey Sitterson and Jeff Doherty.
There we go.
All right, end quote. MJ, are there any trades, collections, or hardcovers from Dark Horse in July you want to talk about right now?
There are two. We've got, first of all, Fear Case, which is a collection of the 4-issue miniseries coming out right now by Matt Kint and Tyler Jenkins. I know you have dug that one quite a bit.
It's a very good book.
That is going to be $19.99, 96 pages, on sale September 1st. Then we've got the trade paperback Cold Bodies, written by Magdalene Visaggio with art by Andrea Muti. That's coming out September 8th. That's going to be 104 pages at $19.99.
All right, MJ, it is time for DC Comics in July.
So it is.
Do you have any notes or anything that you want to touch on before we get too deep into this?
Yes, actually. There are 4 series that are going to be coming out twice monthly in
July.
Why
are they doing this?
I don't know. It's really annoying because they are all $4.99 books.
We saw this coming, MJ. We saw this coming. Last month, you thought this was a fluke. It is not a fluke. Mm-hmm. This is how they're going to do shit.
I mean, it's not like the whole line or anything. It's not like they're putting Batman twice monthly or anything. Almost. I mean, one of them is Detective. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's going to be Detective. It's going to be twice monthly with 1039 and 1040.
Spare a thought for Dan Mora's poor drawing hand.
Plus, he's still doing a Once in Future.
I know.
Infinite Frontier, issues 2 and 3. Justice League, issues 64 and 65. And Wonder Woman, issues 775 and 776. All of them $4.99, all of them twice monthly. It's kind of annoying.
I concur.
Yeah.
I concur. It is annoying. So, folks, if you don't got the money for these books, there is no shame in scaling back your subscriptions. I'm not telling you to do that specifically because we're in the DC Comics territory now and they're doing twice monthlies. But if you are subscribed to these books, all of a sudden you're plunking down double what you normally would.
Well, I mean, this isn't necessarily like the status quo going forward. Like Wonder Woman has not been announced as a twice monthly every month kind of thing. But just keep in mind that every once in a while, they're going to start doing like Marvel does with ASM and just throw in an extra issue in that month for you. So just keep an eye out when you're buying your stuff.
Is this a bad practice? I mean, it is. I mean, it's taking advantage of subscribers because not everyone is 100% locked into their solicits. They subscribe to a book and they presume the comic book store is going to do their thing. Some comic stores are really good about letting their subscribers know, hey, by the way, this is twice monthly. Are you cool with that? But some aren't. And some people are going to be paying double the price for the book that they're subscribed to unwittingly.
But some people are going to be excited about this because they're excited to have an additional issue of their comic that month.
Well, it's nice for them and their extra money.
Yes,
that is true. Not everyone is built that way.
That is true.
So anyway, that's your little Doom Rocket PSA right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about this last week concerning the July 2021 solicits and Superman, but we have 2 new titles in July. Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 1, written by Tom Taylor, art by John Timms. That drops July 13th. That's the release date. $3.99 debut.
$3.99 and not $4.99.
You got a point, but this extra one is $4.99, but it's a mini series, one of four. Superman and the Authority, number one, drops July 20th. This is written by Grant Morrison, art by Mikael Haneen.
And that is the first of four issues. That one is $4.99, like you said, at 40 pages.
Not so bad.
Next, and this is kind of annoying for me, this is solicited in the July solicits, but it is debuting in June. This is Static Season 1, number one.
Drops in June. I'm pretty sure we talked about it in the June solicits.
It wasn't solicited in June, not fully.
Really?
That's why they're soliciting it here.
Why would they do it like that?
I mean, that's what they did with that Batman Fortnite book, and that's why so many retailers were super annoyed about it, because they solicited it and we had to get our orders in like a week for a twice monthly series.
Okay, so what's going on? Why are they soliciting a June book in July?
I think they wanted to have them all together in the solicits like this.
That's annoying.
Guess. Yeah.
Okay. That aside, what do we got?
Well, it's going to be written by Vita Ayala, layouts by Chris Cross, finishes by Nicholas Draper Ivy. The first issue drops on June 15th for $3.99 at 32 pages. It is a six-issue mini, so being that the title is Season 1, it looks like they're going to have these be a series of mini-series. Then we've got Season 1, number 2, coming out July 20th, also $3.99 at 32 pages. We've got the same creative team on that, as one can assume. Then we've got Icon and Rocket Season 1, number 1, coming out on July 27th.
I'm excited for this because I love me some Icon and Rocket.
I like Doug Braithwaite's art, and Doug Braithwaite is doing the art with inks by Andrew Curry.
This drops July 27th, $3.99 debut, six-issue miniseries. If you, like me, love Milestone, you should be doing backflips, as I am. You just can't see because this is a recording.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings us to this thing. DC Horror Presents, : The Conjuring, : The Lover, number one, coming out June 4th, 2021. So they're doing the June solicit in July thing again?
Annoyingly, yes.
All right. So we got a main story by David L. Johnson McGoldrick and Rex Ogle. Ogle? It's fine. Main story art by Gary Brown. Second page ad art by Dave Johnson. What's that?
I don't know.
Backup story by Scott Snyder. Backup story art by Dennis Cohen. Cover by Bill Sienkiewicz. This drops June 4th. It's a five-issue miniseries. $3.99 debut.
They specify it is ages 17 and up.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be an adult to contend with the outright lies that Ed and Lorraine Warren have proliferated all their entire lives.
One thing about this that I find interesting is that they're kind of categorizing this as DC horror.
Ghosts aren't real.
But they're categorizing it as DC horror and not as, say, Black Label. Or this would have probably been like, I don't know, a Hill House book if that was still a
I don't think Hill House is a thing anymore.
But I'm just saying, like, that is how they would have categorized it. And maybe DC horror is a new category they're doing that's just going to be for the adult-oriented horror.
They could have revived Ghosts. That used to be a DC series, a DC horror series, and it had no Ed or Lorraine Warren in it.
But having it have The Conjuring as part of the title is going
that's
to
what
be
makes
appealing
it
to
even
people.
More sad. We'll cash in on the brand, even though the movies are not terrible, they're foundated on a pack of lies, and you know, I can't abide it. I got real opinions about The Conjuring series.
Opinions.
Anyway.
The second issue then comes out in July, July 6th to be exact. And like we mentioned, this is a five-issue mini. Each issue is $3.99. I'm interested to see if we see more DC horror categorized books like this that are 17 up.
# revive ghosts.
Yeah.
Also from Black Label, or I guess they're 17 plus, whatever they're doing.
Well, this one is technically Black Label.
Yes, we have Suicide Squad, Get Joker, number one. Story by Brian Azzarello, art by Alex Maleev and Matt Hollingsworth. This is a 48-page debut, three-issue miniseries at $6.99, Prestige Plus format.
And this one is an early solicit. This comes out August 3rd.
These solicits are all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah. And it's one of the Prestige Plus format books, so it's the big magazine-sized dealies.
That's right. So I guess you want to do the solicits on this one?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Quote, critically acclaimed and best-selling author Brian Azzarello and Eisner Award-winning art legend Alex Maleev collaborate for the first time in this three-issue oversized Prestige Plus format Suicide Squad series, pitting Red Hood, Harley Quinn, Firefly, and more of DC's most villainous criminals against the Joker. When Task Force X's Amanda Waller sets her sights on Batman's greatest foe, she enlists the Dark Knight's former partner Jason Todd to track down the clown prince of crime and put an end to his mad reign of terror, end quote.
It's really weird that DC's doing this because they're clearly doing it to tie in with the upcoming movie. Problem with that is there's no Joker in the upcoming Suicide Squad
Correct.
Movie or Red Hood or any of these characters for that matter. So I don't know. Also, the current ongoing Joker miniseries, whatever it is, has a plot that's not dissimilar to this. It's just not written by Brian Azzarello.
That's the Gordon one, right?
Yeah, where Gordon's going to get Joker. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I like that book a lot. Anyway.
Next, we have, I guess, additionally to the Batman Catwoman series, Batman Catwoman Special Number 1. This might be additional because it's got art by Jean-Paul Leon, in addition to being written by Tom King.
I like that.
Yeah, it is going to be $5.99, 48 pages, black label, 17+. It's just a one-shot, but art by Jean-Paul Leon, worth a mention.
We got a victory lap from Dan Jurgens coming in July. July 20th, to be exact, is the release date for Blue and Gold Number 1. Which will feature art by Ryan Sook. It will be an 8-issue miniseries at $3.99. If anyone gets to write a book about Booster Gold, it's Booster Gold creator Dan Jurgens. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to check this out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad to yet again see Ryan Sook doing a monthly comic.
Hey, say what you want about the Legion of Superheroes. That book was gorgeous.
Well, there were years there when Ryan Sook could not put out a monthly comic to save his life. And now we're actually getting monthly on-time comics from him. It's so great.
Discipline goes a long way. I like it. MJ, is there anything else from DC that you want to talk about, graphic novels, trades, collections, or otherwise?
Well, I want to talk about the Teen Titans Beast Boy Loves Raven graphic novel. Now, this is the third one in the Cami Garcia, Gabriel Piccolo young adult-oriented series. And it's the one when they put Beast Boy and Raven together, because first we had Raven, then we had Beast Boy. Now we have Beast Boy Loves Raven. This comes out September 28th, $16.99 for 208 pages, and it's the smaller digest format. But if you've seen Gabriel Piccolo's art, his awesome fan art of the Teen Titans, you know that this is going to be an absolute delight. Next, I just want to mention some interesting art changes. We've got artists hopping onto books or hopping off books. So with Detective Comics 1040, Dan Mora is coming back after a 3-issue break, which, yay, it's very exciting. Still Mariko Tamaki writing, obviously. Then for Justice League number 64, we have hopping on Steve Pugh, who's replacing David Marquez. Then Teen Titans Academy number 5, and this started with issue 4 and I didn't notice because I'm a ding-dong. We have Steve Lieber coming on for art. I love Steve Lieber. That's super cool to see him. Then for Joker issue 5, James Tynan is going to be co-writing the main story with Matthew Rosenberg, and it's going to have art by Francesco Francavilla. I am very, very happy to see that. Also, the backup's going to be drawn by Sweeney Boo, which I also love. And then, one of my favorite changes here, Wonder Woman number 776 is going to have art by Jill Thompson. And it's going to be a story about Wonder Woman and, like, the fairies. I'm so happy to see that come out.
That's right up your alley.
And then lastly, I've got Wonder Woman Black and Gold number 2, which is going to feature a story written and drawn by Tilly Walden again. We've got double Tilly Walden this month in, like, you know, big three publishers. Pretty great. Then we've got a story with art by Jamie McKelvey and another one with art by Ashley A. Woods. So to see those people drawing Wonder Woman is going to be great.
We have an advance solicit from IDW. Sea of Sorrows trade paperback drops in September. September 22nd, to be exact, a trade paperback that collects all the chilling nautical horror that you can handle. Written by Rich Dowick, art by Alex Cormick. I think Justin Birch did the letters.
Okay.
It's terrific. If you're trade waiting on this book, here's your opportunity. Advance solicit for September, Sea of Sorrows. Do not miss it. Now, MJ, it is time to dive into Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite time of every solicits episode.
Definitely your favorite.
Mm.
Well, we've got a new series starting. It's a miniseries.
Let's just cut through the fat. Are there any cool epic collections coming out?
There's one of them.
All right, we'll get to that.
Yeah, one that I'm definitely ordering. First of all, I've got a
mini. We have way too many epic collections in this house. Like, well, a stack of them.
Over the last month, we've like quadrupled them.
It's my fault.
And mine too. I bought a couple.
We can't help ourselves. When we like a thing, we have to have it. It's like the stack's almost up to my hip.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
Well, but like I said, miniseries debuting called Amazing Fantasy Number 1. This is written and drawn by Kari Andrews. This is going to be coming out July 28th, $4.99 for the first issue at least. I'm going to read a little bit of the solicit text.
All right.
Quote, Red Room, Black Widow, Teenage Spider-Man, World War II Captain America, the most iconic versions of your favorite Marvel characters from across time and space all wake up on an island of intrigue, darkness, and amazing fantasy. Are they dead? Are they dreaming? Or have they truly been transported to another fantastical realm? And is there any way for them to return home? End quote. If you like Kari Andrews's awesome looking covers, this is going to be a good one to check out.
I'm more of a fan of Kari Andrews as artist than writer.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Reign was,
But that was a long time ago.
Wild? Yeah, but, you know, the stains remain, both figuratively and literally.
Well, he's written a couple series for Image and then also for AWA recently, so maybe he's improved his writing chops.
We'll see.
Then I'm going to hop over to ASM, and speaking of having multiple issues in a month...
This is not news, though.
No. As I mention every Solicits episode, Marvel is constantly adding in issues to the ASM sub. So if you subscribe to ASM, you already are spending more than the usual amount.
One fascinating thing about Nick Spencer's run on Amazing Spider-Man is that it seems like he's just regurgitating really popular former Spider-Man arcs and repurposing them. Because now we have Sinister War. The Sinister Six or whatever are coming back, and it's a Sinister War.
I feel like he's not the only writer who does that at Marvel, because we have this week starting up a new Clone Saga, except for Miles.
Yeah.
Then we have Heroes Reborn starting up. Yeah, I don't know if it's just writers kind of deciding they're going to do new takes on...
It has to be editorial. It has to be.
I also think that they want to use those titles to kind of like... add a little bit of a nostalgia kick to things, but also do different stuff with that story.
I don't think Marvel really gets that we like the Clone Saga, ironically. It's not a good story. It's long and it's unwieldy. And then we have Extreme Carnage as well.
That is too. That is on this one. I don't think we're going to talk about it.
We did this already. Yeah. Absolute Carnage was not even like a year ago.
Yeah.
And then, oh, forget it. Let's just get this over with.
Well, anyway, starting in July, we have a 4-issue event mini called Sinister War. And that is starting in July. The first 2 issues come out in July. This is twice monthly again. And added up to the 2 issues of ASM that come out in July, your total spent is going to be $17.96 in July, because the Sinister War stuff is obviously integral to the ASM sub. So yeah, and then the second 2 issues of that will be out in August. Then we have a new X-Men book debuting, because we needed more X-books. This is going to be X-Men number one.
Well, I mean, they're canceling X-Men and relaunching X-Men.
Yes.
So that's what they're doing. And they're putting a new writer on the team. Jonathan Hickman is hopping off, because the X-Men now actually have the X-Men in it.
Yes.
Not just a bunch of mutants causing a big ruckus over in Krakoa. Now there's an actual X-Men team to read about. And I guess that's just the Marvel got triggered and they had to do a reboot.
Well, they want to have this be the more like action-focused team book, like you said, whereas before, Hickman has not been writing that. He's been kind of doing this larger plot-focused...
This big nose-picking event called Dawn and Reign of X.
Yes, but the month after this and then the month after that, we're going to see 2 more X-Men books debut.
Yeah.
One written by Leah Williams, and then after that, one written by Jonathan Hickman again.
Goodness.
But this one, X-Men number one, debuting on July 7th, 48 pages at $4.99 with
10,000 variant covers.
Billion trillion covers. And this is going to be written by Jerry Duggan with art by Pepe Larraz. So it's going to look real good.
Then we got Moon Knight number one, written by Jed McKay, with art by Alessandro Cappuccio.
Ooh, I like that name. Alessandro Cappuccio.
Mm-hmm. With covers by Steve McNiven, with a whole host of variant covers. You know the score by now. Moon Knight to tie in with the upcoming Moon Knight TV series on Disney Plus, starring Oscar Isaac.
That's not out for a bit, though.
No, it's not.
They're probably timing it so that the first trade of this can come out before that
perhaps,
comes out.
Perhaps. Another 40-page debut at $4.99. This drops July 21st. I'll check it out because I do like Moon Knight. But my phony radar is going off. Like, whenever they do, like, tie-in books just to tie them in. Like, this is all that's happening now with DC and Marvel, and it's annoying, and I see right through it, and I don't care.
But just,
because none of these projects ever turned out to be any damn good anyway.
The Black Widow series that came out last year was actually very good, and it's still going on, the Kelly Thompson series. And
there
that
are
was,
exceptions.
That was technically out to tie in with the movie. It still hasn't come out yet. But sometimes, a good creative team can take the concept and do something really great with it.
That's a big sometimes, though.
But I'd like to keep my heart open to the possibility.
My heart is closed. Closed for business. Moving on. With Thor Annual number one, I presume you added this to our sheet because Aaron Cooter is not only illustrating it, he's writing it as well.
Yes. This looks like a really, really fun issue. I'm going to read a little bit of the solicit text.
Go for
Quote,
it.
Quote, Thor and the other leaders of the Ten Realms and Hawkeye have gathered for a World Tree celebration, but the festivities come to an abrupt halt when a mysterious guest and his otherworldly powers crashes the party, and his plus one is a dark, twisted version of Thor who is determined to become the iron-fisted ruler of all the realms, end quote. I am so excited to see this. I love Aaron Cooter's art. It's going to be $4.99, 40 pages, comes out July 21st.
Another Aliens book, because Marvel absolutely cannot help themselves.
But it's just a one-shot at least.
We have Aliens Aftermath number one, written by Benjamin Percy, who allegedly is a big Aliens fan and said online or said somewhere that he was very much looking forward to writing this. I remember an editor once told me that you don't want to hire somebody that is an unabashed fan of said thing, because then you're just going to get fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch this with my critical eye from a distance, and hopefully it will work out.
But what are DC Marvel comics but fanfic?
Well, that's all they are now.
That's all they ever were, technically.
Technically, that's true.
The art here is by Dave Wachter. This is actually going to be a straight-up follow-up, an actual sequel to Alien, which is super cool.
Aliens?
Is it?
It says Aliens. The S is important, MJ.
Yes, to Aliens. Sorry.
Alien is the Nostromo. Aliens is the base with the thousands of aliens.
Hadley's Hope Colony? Is that what it is?
I think that's it. Okay. Yeah.
So this is like 35 years since the tragedy of Hadley's Hope Colony, et cetera, et cetera.
That's where Newt was with Jonesy.
Mm-hmm.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
So this is going to be $4.99, 40 pages, a one-shot that comes out on July 14th.
Then we got X-Men Legends number 5, the anthology series that reunites former X-Men creators for what can only be described as a victory lap.
Well, they do the cool shit like this one where they specify where in X-Men continuity this takes place.
Well, like, they're doing that with all of those.
That's why it's awesome. Yeah. So this one takes place between X-Factor 75 and 76, Peter David's X-Factor, which is why it's written by Peter David with art by Todd Knock.
That's right. July 21st for that one. X-Men Legends has been turning out to be a very interesting book. We got the Simonsons teaming up right now.
Yeah, that one came out today.
Yeah, interesting stuff. X-Corp continues in July, but we have a new artist on the book, Valentine Delandro.
Yeah!
Who is fantastic, is hopping on art chores, teaming up with Teenie Howard. Cover still by David Aja. You can look forward to that July 14th. Captain Marvel number 30, we have Jamie McKelvey returning to the book, doing art chores and writing a backup.
Well, he is writing and drawing the backup, which is very exciting. And he never actually worked in the book. He just did covers.
Didn't he design the new look
also? He did design that costume, but he never actually got to work on the book.
Well, you could have fooled me, MJ.
I'm just really glad that he is, and he's writing it himself. Jamie McKelvey doing Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman this month. It's just a cornucopia of amazingness for me.
MJ's eating well.
Yes. But that's the last end of this solicit text. Quote, don't miss the oversized 30th issue of Captain Marvel, including a special story written and drawn by Jamie McKelvey, the original designer of the Captain's now iconic red, blue, and yellow suit. It's $4.99 at 40 pages. Comes out July 21st.
All right. MJ, you've got War of Bounty Hunters here. Why are we talking about this?
I just wanted to give people the lowdown on what they'll be spending for the month if they decide to get all the tie-ins.
So Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters continues in July. MJ, what does the landscape look like?
Well, it's the second issue of the series, which started with like a prelude issue and then issue one and then two. Then we've also got a one-shot focusing on Jabba the Hutt. That one's going to be $4.99.
I dated a girl once who had a mom that hated Jabba the Hutt. Like, we were all big Star Wars fans, and her little brother especially, like, loved Star Wars so much. I had to take him to see Phantom Menace, like, 12 times in the theater.
Had to.
Yeah, well, I got paid to do it, you know. There was a lot of Star Wars toys around the house. There was a Jabba plush that she hated. Because it was a joke gift. Uh-huh. I gave it to her for Christmas one year, and she hated it absolutely. So whenever she was displeased with somebody, a member of her family or me, she would leave the stuffed Jabba next to your things, like if my backpack on the mantelpiece for the dad, or in Ray's room when Ray was bad, or, you know, Ray was her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm telling this story. It doesn't matter.
So the total, if you get that issue 2, the Jabba the Hutt one shot, and then the 4 tie-in issues of Star Wars 15, Afra 12, Bounty Hunters 14, and Vader 14, your total for the month is going to be $24.94. And if you get all of those and also got all of the ones previous that have come out, your total for War of the Bounty Hunters is going to be $55.87 so far. And it's only on its second issue.
People like Star Wars, they'll spend money on it.
Yes, yes, this is true.
All right, MJ, are there any trades, collections, or hardcovers that you want to talk about from Marvel in July? I already know about the Epic Collection, but please indulge me.
Well, I wanted to actually stay on this Star Wars little trip we've got. The first volume of Star Wars The High Republic is coming out. This was a comic that a lot of stores underordered on, and it became a speculator thing, so it became really hard for readers to actually get these issues in store.
Sidebar, speculators are scum.
Yes, but there was a lot of genuine interest in finding out more about these High Republic characters, this new era of Star Wars, and now the trade paperback is going to be out, a much more easy way to read this story than trying to hunt down like the fourth printing of the second issue or whatever. So it's collecting issues 1 through 5 of Star Wars The High Republic. It's going to be 120 pages at $15.99. Comes out August 11th. Then we've got the Epic Collection I mentioned. Doctor Strange Epic Collection, The Vampiric Verses.
It's Vampiric, MJ.
Vampiric. vampiric.
That's right.
Volume number 9 in the Doctor Strange Epic Collections features the writing talents of Roy Thomas, Dan Thomas, Jean-Marc Lofficier, Fabian Nicieza, and Howard Mackey, and the pencils of Butch Geist, Jeff Isherwood, Jim Valentino, Gene Colan, Ron Lim, Chris Marinan, Tony DiZanuga, Javier Sartalis, and more.
This collects Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme number 14 through 33 and Ghost Rider number 12. Count on space vampires? I don't know.
Or magic vampires. I don't know.
Could be a thing. MJ, is that it for Marvel?
That's all I've got for Marvel.
All right. I think it's time for us to position into lightning round.
Yes.
All right. What the hell's Dynamite doing here?
Because there is a new series hopping onto the trend of doing these duochromatic books or triple chromatic.
We'll work that out in post.
Yeah. Three color books. Red Sonja, Black, White, and Red. Number one.
So transparent.
But this is going to feature the talents of Kurt Busiek and Benjamin Dewey.
Oh, our favorites.
Doing a short story of Red Sonja. I don't know if any of you guys follow Benjamin Dewey on Twitter or Instagram.
You should do that.
He recently posted this really awesome drawing he did of Red Sonja that was in black and white and red.
I missed it. I need to check that out.
Well, I mean, if it's a little taste of what we're going to see in this little story, I can't get it soon enough. I'm very excited to see it.
Also features writing work from Amanda Daybert and Mark Russell and art by Kat Staggs and Bob Keough.
It's a really stacked deck for this issue.
We don't generally promote Dynamite books because it's all tie-in, licensed pap.
I don't know if tie-in is the right word that starts with T. I think titty is the right word that starts with T.
They've become sub-Zenoscope in terms of their shameless cover program.
You know? I'm actually sad that this cover is going to be Lucio Perillo because he... It's a lot of boobage.
Does he use mud as paint? His covers always look so filthy and dirty. And I'm not talking about the content. I'm talking like it looks like somebody smeared mud on a screen.
It's very muddy.
It's very, very dark.
He also seems to really, really like drawing like very deep cuts in flesh. It's really weird.
That I'm fine with.
Like you'll see like Red Sonja's leg and there'll be this really big, deep gash in her leg.
Well, she's a warrior. What do you think happens to warriors?
I'm just saying the way that he likes to draw cuts.
I got scratched by a fork the other day on my arm. I was cleaning the dishwasher out. Be careful when you clean out your dishwasher. And that little scratch opened me up. Cuts hurt.
I'm just saying the way he draws them, it weirds me out.
All right. Red Sonja, Black, White, Red, number one, drops July 7th. If you're interested to check out Ben Dewey's art, as you always should be. Moving on to Boom Studios, we have a new debut, Mamo number one at $4.99. This is written and illustrated by Soss Millage. I'm not familiar with any of this.
Soss Millage did the art on that Lost Carnival Dick Grayson graphic novel that DC put out last year before.
I see.
There's really, really great art, and this is Soss Millage writing and drawing themselves.
We got some solicitous text here. Quote, can Orla O'Reilly embrace her destiny in order to bridge the divide between humanity and the fairy world? Orla, the youngest in a long line of hedge witches, finds herself pulled back to her hometown after the death of her grandmother, Mamo, the eponymous Mamo. Without Mamo managing magical relationships between the townsfolk and the Fae, the seas are impossible to fish, the crops have soured, and Joe Manalo's attic has been taken over by a poltergeist. Now Orla and Joe will both be pulled into worlds they never wanted to be a part of. Can the two girls work together to save the town? End quote.
It looks really cute.
I always feel like I should be running the Price is Right theme music when we're doing the lightning round.
Yeah.
We probably can't afford that. But I feel like there should be music considering the pace we're going at this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, MJ, what is next from Boom in July?
Well, we've got a new issue of Mouse Guard coming out. Mouse Guard, the Owlhen Caregiver number one. This is a self-contained special. It's $4.99, and it's got three little short stories in it. So if you have been missing Mouse Guard comics, which you should be,
because
they're
not?
Great. Yes. You have a new addition to the series coming out in July.
Written and illustrated by David Peterson, of course.
Then we've got a new debut called Dark Blood number one. This is written by LaToya Morgan, who was a writer on The Walking Dead TV show and also on Into the Badlands, and art by Walt Barna. It's actually a very cool sounding series. Quote, what if you were given the power to change the course of history? Alabama, 1955. Avery Aldridge is an ordinary young black man. A decorated World War II veteran, Avery provides for his wife and daughter. But wounds of the past have a way of coming back, and Avery Aldridge will soon discover he is anything but ordinary. After a run and awakens strange new abilities, Avery is about to become more powerful than he could have ever dared to dream in a country and society that never wanted him to have any power at all. End quote.
Even more Dune from Boom in July. We have Dune, Blood of the Sardaukar? Sardaukar? How do you say that?
I mean, I've only read it. I don't know how it's like supposed to be pronounced.
Sardaukar.
Yeah, this is one of Boom's one-shots, so it's $7.99. It's co-written by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson, as this recent Dune miniseries has been, but it's got art by Adam Gorham.
Which is the only reason why it's on our solicits list.
That is very true.
You can check that out in July. MJ, are there any trades, collections, or hardcovers from Boom in July?
Just one.
All right.
It's a little series called Berserker.
Why are we talking about this?
Because it's a really, really hot book.
But we don't do the hot books. We talk about the books that we care about.
This is also co-written by Matt Kint. It's not a bad comic. It's got art by Ron Gurney. It's a good comic.
It's a brazen tie-in marketing scheme thing.
But it's also a really good...
And it was kickstarted.
But it's also a really good comic. Okay, it can be both.
Ah.
The first volume of Berserker collects issues 1 through 4.
If you're interested.
Yes, this comes out in September, so it's an advanced solicit. Uh-huh. I think it's going to be a 12-issue series. So this is like the first volume of 3. Check that out in September.
Or don't.
Or don't.
From Fantagraphics, we have Queen of the Ring hardcover. Now, this is an interesting piece of comic something by Jaime Hernandez. So this is text, go, quote, "For the past 40 years, Jaime Hernandez has been privately amassing a body of work that no one else has seen. Until now, the parallel universe to his Love and Rockets world is set in the heyday of 1960s and 70s women's wrestling with an entirely new, original cast of characters who have aged and evolved. This book spotlights the women who are often ignored in pro wrestling in 125 full-color illustrations, pinups, action shots, fake wrestling magazine covers, echoing the Lucha Libre magazines of the 1960s. Hernandez also discusses the work in an interview with fellow cartoonist Katie Skelly, end quote. It's $25, 128 pages, comes out August 4th.
And the reason that there is that interview with Katie Skelly in there is because she actually edited that book with him.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Also from Behemoth Comics, we have a series called Cinnamon, issue 1 of 3. It's about a cat. It's written and drawn by Victoria Douglas. Comes out on July 28th, 24 pages.
All right, MJ, is there anything else from July 2021 solicits that you want to touch on before we move on to the top 5?
Just a couple more. One from Oni Press. We've got Underground trade paperback written by Jeff Parker with art by Steve Lieber. This is a book that has long been out of print and is now back in print. I'm going to read a little bit from the solicit text. Park ranger and avid caver Wesley Fisher is on a one-woman mission to stop Stillwater Cave from being turned into a tourist trap, but public opinion is not on her side. When violent locals begin blasting in the cave, Wes and a fellow ranger investigate. A confrontation between both parties spirals into a deadly chase, forcing the two rangers to flee deep under the Kentucky mountains, first to escape pursuers, and then, the deadliest threat, the cave itself. Now, this comes out September 29th, 144 pages for $19.99. Lastly, from Silver Sprocket, we've got a graphic novel called Magician A from Natsuko Ishitsuyo. Solicit text goes, quote, "Magician A fearlessly tackles sex and female sexuality, love, and unbridled ambition in a unique blend of Japanese, Eastern European, and outsider art styles. The women in these stories take on everything from school politics to paid dates with salarymen and even the struggles of starting an online magician business," end quote. We mostly love everything from Silver Sprocket, and I'm sure this will be no exception. Comes out July 7th, 256 pages for $13.99.
And bonus lightning round, we got from Ahoy Comics in July, Blacksmith, Black's Space Myth, number 1, written by Eric Palicki, art by Wendell Cavalcanti, and covers by Liana Kangas. Solicits text, go, quote, "Meet Janie Strummer Jones, just an ordinary werewolf PI trying to make it on the mean streets of LA. When the case of a lifetime falls into her lap, it's up to her and her charming gin assistant Ben Salat to figure out just how many silver bullets have been used and just where do silver bullets come from anyway." End quote. I love everything that Ahoy puts out, just about. I will be checking this out, and I think you should too. Blacksmith, Black's Space Myth, number 1, drops July 7th. That's the $3.99 debut.
I think that's it for solicits.
It is. That's another solicit episode in the bag. We gave you a couple of suggestions of the comics coming down the pike, in this case for July 2021. And now we want to know what you're excited to read. So tag us at Cashwets Podcast on Twitter and let us know what you're pumped to check out. And be sure to hit up your local comic shop and pre-order your books. Head over to Comic Shop Locator at comicshoplocator.com if you need help locating the closest LCS to you. All right, MJ, it is time for the top 5.
It is.
All right, let's do it. All right, MJ, this week I've got the 3, you've got the 2. I want to start us off with a Marvel debut. I love how I just trash Marvel during the solicits episodes, and then I'm like, I like some of the stuff.
I was going to say, Marvel, huh?
Yeah, specifically The Marvels, number 1.
Not to be confused with Marvels or Marvel's X or...
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Marvel Snapshots. We've
talked about that point. This is written by Kurt Busiek, with art by Yildiray Sinar, with colors by Richard Eisenhove, who's a very nice person, by the way.
Oh.
That's right. Letters by Simon Boland. All right. So this is probably the wildest, most ambitious thing Busiek's done with Marvel yet, somehow. I'm getting serious Astro City vibes from this book. It's a very expansive series that's going to go on and just touch on literally every corner of the Marvel Universe. Here is how it breaks down. Quote, anyone, anywhere, anytime. The Marvel Universe, from before the Big Bang to beyond the end of time, from the Avengers to the X-Men, from Arcus to Zax, that's three Z's, Zax, from the Kree Empire to the Dark Dimensions and into the unknown, it ranges vast and deep, and there have been adventures too big for any one series, until now, end quote. This book just throws you in. There's no explanation, there's no hand-holding, it jumps from one story to the next. And apparently they tie in together. Sometimes they unwittingly tie in together. This is a series unlike anything else Marvel is publishing, taking full advantage of the Marvel Universe. Ambitious, huge, loud, The Marvels, number one, out this week. Check it out. It is fun. MJ, what is your first pick this week?
Well, my first pick is a graphic novel. It is out from Image. It is Friend of the Devil, a reckless book. This is written by Ed Brubaker with art by Sean Phillips and colors by Jacob Phillips.
This came out a lot faster than I thought it would.
Well, they mentioned when they first solicited the first one that they would be coming out, I think, like every 3 months, every 4 months, something like that. And the next one is in the pipeline for the same amount of time. It's really, really good. It's $25. It's not necessarily a straight up sequel. Like, you can actually jump in and just read this without reading the first Reckless book, but it takes place in LA in the mid 80s. The main character is pretty much a PI, but not really a PI. His last name's Reckless.
It's a play on words.
Eponymous character. Mm-hmm. It is Brubaker and Phillips doing what they do best. A really, really great crime thriller. I read it in one sitting. You probably will too. I would suggest picking it up. It is Friend of the Devil, a reckless book from Image.
I get Billy Jack vibes from the series.
Yeah?
That's a good thing, for me anyway.
Well, it's nice to read a series from them where the main character is a good guy.
And I love the covers. Sean Phillips is a really good artist, but his covers lately have been dynamite.
Yeah, and the covers for Reckless are just so delightfully pulpy.
Yeah.
What's your next pick, Jones?
A trade paperback from Matt Cave Studios. My first Matt Cave trade paperback. MJ, look.
Ooh.
Stargazer trade paperback. Now, I have promoted Stargazer on the top five before.
Yeah.
I have highly recommended it. Now it's on trade. So if you were trade waiting, this is the week for you. This is a book by Anthony Cleveland, Antonio Fuso, Stefano Simeone, and Justin Birch. Fantastic team, fantastic story. Really quick solicits text. Quote, years ago, Shay, her brother Kenny, two childhood friends experienced a traumatic, unexplainable event that left Kenny scarred for life. 20 years later, the group has since drifted apart and Kenny has committed himself to the belief that what they experienced was an alien abduction. However, Kenny's sudden and mysterious disappearance leads the group to reunite and discover the truth of what took place all those years ago. You remember that movie Fire in the Sky?
No. I remember of it.
It was not very good, and I think it was vaguely based on a quote-unquote true story. As if people actually get abducted by aliens. But anyway, think Stand By Me, The Big Chill, and Fire in the Sky all mushed into a better product than that could possibly be. Ooh. Stargazer, quite a book from Mad Cave, out this week. This trade paperback is going to cost you $18, six issues.
Usual-ish for an indie book, it's fine.
MJ, what is next for you?
Well, next for me is another graphic novel.
Look, I was going to promote this myself if you hadn't. I read the first 100 pages of this last night. Gave me weird, fucked up dreams.
Well, I just want to apologize for my end of the top five being so expensive this week. $125 hardcover and then $140 hardcover.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
But it's good stuff, y'all. I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think so. But this one is Monsters, written and drawn by Barry Windsor Smith.
That's right.
This is a graphic novel that has been in the works from him for like 30 years or something.
It's been a long time.
It was originally thought up by him as a Hulk story.
You can see the DNA of that in the story too.
Yeah, and he had to rework it because Marvel was like, nope.
Can't see why.
Yeah, but it is 360 pages. I'm going to read a little bit of the copy on the back.
Go for it.
Quote, the year is 1964. Bobby Bailey doesn't realize he is about to fulfill his tragic destiny when he walks into a U.S. Army recruitment office. Secretive, damaged, innocent, trying to forget a past and looking for a future, Bobby is the perfect candidate for a secret U.S. government experimental program, an unholy continuation of a genetics program that was discovered in Nazi Germany nearly 20 years earlier in the waning days of World War II. Bailey's only ally and protector, Sergeant McFarland, Island, intervenes, which sets off a chain of cascading events that spin out of everyone's control. As the titular monsters multiply, becoming real and metaphorical, the story reaches a crescendo of moral reckoning. End quote. This is out from Fantagraphics. It is ginormous, both trim size and in thickness. And it's Barry Windsor Smith art.
Yeah.
Known from X-Men, Conan, you know.
Weapon X.
Amazing, amazing looking stuff. So yeah, that is my second recommendation for the week. What's your last pick, Jones?
My last pick is Love and Rockets magazine, a number 10 from Fantagraphics. You know me, I love me some Love and Rockets. But this issue features a Love and Rockets first, Tonta, who's been marauding through a subplot in Love and Rockets for about 5 years. Uh-huh. And now Maggie and Tonta finally meet in this issue.
Oh.
Featuring other stories by Gilbert Hernandez, of course, it is a brotherly affair, Love and Rockets. You should know what this is by now. A magnificent series of comics that still has the ability to surprise and delight you. Check it out. Love and Rockets magazine, number 10.
I like that two of our picks were both Fantagraphics this week.
I like it too. I like it too. I think Jack Rosen, PR representative of Fantagraphics, will like it even more. Anyway, Love and Rockets magazine number 10 closes out our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week. Every week we field a question from one of you, our lovely listeners. Hit us up, info@doomrocket.com, Cash Weds Podcast on Twitter. This week, Adam Ford comes back with us with another question and says, "Hi, Jared and MJ. Just chipping in to say how much I have loved your read-through series on Sandman. You have both been so insightful and thoughtful, and it has given me many inspirations to go back and reread and also rethink the series. Thank you so much for doing it." Well, thank you, Adam.
People actually like it.
They did like it. They did. Adam also has some suggestions for future rereads if we ever go back to them. Adam suggests, "I may be alone in this, but I would tune in for a reread of things like Squirrel Girl,
yeah,
Godland, The Invisibles, Mike Carey's Lucifer, or Ann Nocenti and JRJR's 80s run on Daredevil. Obscure choices, I know. Sorry, no reason to apologize, Adam."
Those are good choices.
All of those.
Yeah.
Finally, a listener question. "What sort of comics merch do you guys go all out for? Drinking glasses? T-shirts? Statues? Action figures?" Thanks, Adam. Thank you for that question. The answer is all of the above.
It's funny that you mentioned drinking glasses first, because when I first read this, I was like, Jared, did you write this?
She did.
Because we have a lot of Toon Tumbler drinking glasses superheroes on them.
They keep getting broke by our cats, and so we keep buying new ones, and they keep coming out with different ones that we like.
Well, the most recent ones that we got were the Dark Side one and the Shazam one.
You got those for my birthday last year.
I did. Before that, the most recent ones were the cool-ass X-Men one.
Illustrated by John Byrne. We got the Incredible Hulk. And that's Hulk my one. Favorite glass. It's the one I drink out of the most. Mm-hmm. We used to have a really cool Neil Adams Batman one, but that one broke almost immediately. But anyway, we do buy a lot of comics-adjacent shit. When you come into our house, you're almost overwhelmed by it. I am.
It's funny. We had this work guy come in a couple weeks ago, and he noticed all the figures we have up on all the shelves. It's like, "Oh, yeah, you like all these characters, huh?"
Yeah, you like characters, don't you? That's what he said. You like characters. Like, for instance, we have action figures on all our comic shelves and statues. MJ's the big statue buyer. You buy all the statues virtually.
I get statues.
Yeah, you sure do. You got me that gigantic, like, 14-inch Nightwing statue by Jim Lee, where he's twirling the baton.
Yeah, it's a really good statue.
That thing was not cheap. Because of you, I have reacquainted my love affair with action figures. I was big on them when I was a kid, to the surprise of absolutely no one. I have been trying to buy DC Direct stuff, because that shit was good. And they put out some really awesome figures. I want to get the Reign of the Superman action figures, but they're so prohibitively expensive.
You were just showing me last night, like, the set of four is like $450 on eBay or something.
Some guy's got it for like $450. There's no way I'm spending that much money on action figures. There's just no way.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're mint on card, man. No, it's not worth it.
I do not care. I won't spend $400 on a statue. You might.
$400? That's like that for me. That's prohibitively. That's a little too much for me. Like, I'll spend maybe $200 on something I really, really love.
Yeah. The price has to be right. It has to be something that we absolutely adore to justify the purchase, but oftentimes fudge the justification in order to get some of these things. For instance, I did not need to get the Superwoman Frank Quitely action figure from All-Star Superman, but I got it, and you certainly did not need to buy the All-Star Superman action figure to compliment her
a week later.
We did not need to get these things, and yet we got them anyway. I bought one, and you bought the other to surprise me.
But the other one was a gift for you. It was a Valentine's Day gift, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. But also, you mentioned t-shirts. I have lots of comic book t-shirts.
It's ridiculous.
I buy lots of shirts. I also buy lots of movie-related shirts, especially from Super Yaki. If any of y'all are big movie buffs, check out Super Yaki's t-shirts. They're pretty great. But yeah, I have a lot of t-shirts.
We also go really deep in prints. I buy a lot of prints for you. You buy a lot of prints in general. I would like it more if we did a rotation of prints on our wall.
I mean, honestly, my purchase of prints, my prints purchasing has gone down immensely since there have been no comic book conventions.
Thank God for that.
That's where a lot of my print purchases came from. But I recently bought the Alex Ross poster print book. This is the one that Abrams put out that is prints of each separate character from that big mural that Alex Ross did for the Marvel offices that then got reprinted as those Alex Ross covers, like the face shots.
They're all heroes standing in front of a white void. You know what they are if you've seen any of the Marvel variants.
Yeah, but like the prints in this book are like the entire body of the character instead of just the face. And then it has this pullout poster of that mural.
What?
It's amazing.
Even with the creases, it looks like it would look beautiful under glass.
Yeah, the cardstock is really good, and on the back of each like print page, it's got like this awesome little mini essay from Alex Ross about what he likes about the character and how he first got to know them.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good.
We went to the Alex Ross exhibit. Where was that?
I was like in the western suburbs of Chicago, like Libertyville or something.
Gene, our pal Gene Ha, took us. He treated us to a advanced viewing of this, and it was really lovely. It was a lot of fun. They were selling posters there, not prints, posters of Alex Ross with the exhibition's information and stuff on it. Something that, like, you know, a sophisticated parent might buy from a museum. They had those of the Incredible Hulk, his gigantic face, and I had to have it.
It was also not even like on paper. It was almost kind of like a vinyl, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like on a really rich, thick vinyl stock. Like, I have to get it under glass. It's in a tube and it kills me. But not only that, but we've accumulated so much shit over the years that it's really hard to justify continuing buying shit.
Except for Epic Collections.
Except for Epic Collections. That's the thing that we're big on now, Adam. We're going all in on Epic Collections from Marvel. The production value is so good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll go and find a first printing of a trade collection from Marvel, and the reproduction value is shit. The ink values are off. You can barely read some of the word balloons. It's just no good. But the Epic Collections are consistently dynamite. There's nothing bad I can say about them. And they all come with ancillary material in the back matter.
And they look so good on the shelves together. And it is an automatic catalyst for my completism. Because, you know, it's like, this Epic Collection is volume 6 in the Doctor Strange Epic Collection series. So then you're like, well, it's 6. I have to wait for all the rest of them to come out to have them all. You know,
it's true. It's compulsory and we have a problem.
Yeah.
So, Adam, I hope we answered your question. If you have a question for us here at Casual Wednesdays that you'd like us to answer to the best of our ability, hit us up info@doomrocket.com or Casuets Podcast on Twitter. We need to stop talking about the stuff we have or somebody's going to find out where we live and steal all our shit. That's it. That's all the time we have for this week's Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this doobie little podcast in your life? Check out our episode archive via any good podcatcher or check us out over on doomrocket.com. Rate, follow, subscribe, whatever you want to do, or tell us how we're doing with a review on Apple Podcasts. It's the nice thing to do.
Yes.
New episodes every single week, I'm happy to say. And while you're at it, look us up on Twitter @CasualWetsPodcast. I'm @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
@MollyJane_Kate.
So until the day I get haunted by the ghosts of Ed and Lorraine Warren, I remain Jared. That's MJ over there. And from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great new comic book day. There's no such thing as ghosts.
But then why's your chair moving?
Say what?